Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of August, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And we'll take up the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, of course. Chip Flory is on the western leg. Brian Grady is on the eastern leg. And we'll hear from both of them today, along with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated with an update of the very important weather forecast for the Midwest as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking now the numbers on this Wednesday afternoon as they finished in Chicago. Settlement prices, September soft red winter wheat at $5.39.5, down 6.5 cents, December at $5.50, 8.5 cents lower, and the March at $5.68.75, down 8.5, July of next year at $5.87.25, down 8.75. September corn, 3 cents lower at $3.59.5, December the new crop at $3.67.5, 4.75 lower. The March at 380.5 down 5 cents, and May at 388.75 down 4.75. July corn, $3.95.25 down a nickel. December futures at $4.08.5 down 4.75. September soybeans, $11.19.75 of a cent, a half cent lower. November at 10.38, that's 14.75 lower. January 10.45.75 down 14.75 in the March. 10.52.5, 15.5 lower. July futures at 10.62.75 down 15.5 cents. And November beans of next year at $10.46.5, down 12.25 cents. Bean meal futures at $4.02.60, up to 80. Bean oil at $32.86, 20 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures for the day in the October at $145.40. That's down $1.82.5. And the feeders in the October at $210.37.5, or down the $3 limit. Lean hogs in the October at $92.50, $2.32.5 lower. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. It's Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Here's what the numbers look like in the outside markets at this hour. September crude oil at $96.07 a barrel, $1.59 higher. The RBOB price of gasoline or wholesale at $2.70.09 a gallon, a penny and 3 cents higher. Ethanol futures up a penny and a tenth at $2.13 per gallon, and the spread between those two is 58 cents wide. That's just about a half cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.83.3, down 4.4, and diesel fuel at $2.82.5, just about 8 tenths of a cent higher. Gold futures at $1,293.70, down $1.60. The U.S. dollar trading 82.2. is up 0.34 on the afternoon. Well, it is the time of the year that we kick in our weekly and evening Ag Outlook panels, and we have a whole slew of them scheduled starting next Tuesday in Sherman, Illinois, at the Farm Credit Illinois office. It'll just be Jonathan Kappas to talk about ARC and PLC and the farm program decision. I'll be there as well. And then on Wednesday, the 27th, we'll be in Ashmore at the Seed Shed. Gary Schnitke, Wayne Nelson, and Jackie Vakes, and myself, all of these in the evening. You can find more on our website. We'll be in Mahomet and Lawrenceville and Tutopolis and Mount Vernon, Harrisburg, and Watsika. All of those are not quite up on the website yet, but if you check them out in the next 24 hours or so, you'll find an event near you. You can always give me a call at 217-333-7300 if you'd like to schedule one of our Ag Outlook panels, or just visit us at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 20th day of August, a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line to take up what happened in the agricultural markets for the day is Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Thanks for being with us, Jackie. What's top of the mind for you on your list this afternoon?
Well, there's a lot of things that I've been talking with guys about today, but primarily covering crop insurance prices for 2015 corn and beans. And when I look at the big picture, and a lot of guys are saying, well, I don't know exactly what I'm going to plant. I'm on the fence. Some guys are talking about increasing bean acres and reducing corn acres. And so that made me want to look at some things. And in the next 30 days, last year, we lost 36.5 cents on corn and 54 cents on beans. And by doing that, that sent me. So if you wait 30 days to decide, if we were going to compare, last year, when we even had a bigger question about whether we'd have a good crop or not, that's a potential risk for you. But then if you look at crop insurance between the high in August at 526.5 on the 26th of August, by the time that we got down to the February average of 462, we lost 64.5 cents. And we lost 83 cents on November 14 from that August 26 to 1136 on the February average. So, if something similar would happen this year, and you always have to think that there's a possibility of that, especially in light of where we're at, that would put us at 335.5 on December 15 corn and crop insurance and 967 on November beans. I just, in my heart of hearts, I truly believe that we have to be proactive, that we can't sit back. And, I've got guys that say, well, FSA numbers came in 1.5 million acres less on corn and on beans both. And, okay. So 1.5 million acres out of the northern part of the U.S. Basically says right away that we're going to raise the average. I don't think too many people are going to argue that we've got the potential for 170. And did some research and looked at the change from report to report. From the August to the September report, 50% of the time we went higher. If you just took the median, which was 1.4%, that would have taken us to 174 bushels. Well, I don't think that will happen on this report. So let's say 170. Minus 1.5 million acres increases our corn production by 44 million bushels. And if we drop out 1.5 million acres of beans and we go to 46, because when you looked at the bean crop from the August to the September, again, you had a 50% opportunity for an increase. 2.7 was the median. And so that would take us well above the 46 level. I decided that's probably too aggressive. So I just took 46. We would actually lower the crop production by 79 million, and we'd actually get in underneath that 400 million bushels, but that's still a huge carryout, Todd. So when you look at the big picture, it's just, as a risk manager, you have to be proactive and you have to be looking at all of this and trying to keep it in context, take some of the emotion away and say, okay, now let's couple this with the potential for the U.S. dollar. Hit a 12-month high today. We've got the Fed coming out. The minute they start squeaking about interest rates going up, the dollar will get stronger. And the overall picture, when you look in you look to Europe and China and Japan, they're all talking about more stimulus. So if the dollar begins to rise, that's a good opportunity for them to come in and buy the dollar to protect themselves too. So we have a lot of things going on in this marketplace.
When you consider that 44 million bushel change that you discussed, how much is it worth to the marketplace? And then can you translate that into protecting the crop insurance decision for the 2015? And I know they're different crop years, but they're related based on carryout.
Oh, there's no question that they're related. And, if you look back when we talked about it the last time, when I had done the if we actually saw the dollar go higher, and what would that do to us? Well, how would it react? Well, when you saw the nearby corn go down $1.49, we saw the 15 corn go down $1.12.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say 15. It was 9 and 10 back then.
Right.
But there definitely was a reaction, and it would imply that we would go down from 369. We close at 367.5, so it's pretty close. $1.05 right now, 94 on next year's. You know, on beans, $1.86 and $1.13 on 015. Those are the kinds of things that are scary. And when you look at the actual numbers, and I know people will say, well, this is crazy, it can't happen, but if you looked at how the futures reacted with a 7% increase, if we had a 7% increase, which could easily happen to us on the dollar, it would imply 264 for December 14 corn and 314 for 15 corn. 874 for beans, 850 for 15 beans. Those are numbers that are just too terrifying. And from an economic standpoint, absolutely require that a person does something to protect that risk.
And can you do it in a relatively inexpensive way?
Well, nothing's ever inexpensive. I mean, you know, when you come right down to it, you are definitely going to, if you're going to use options, which I certainly believe that options are not a bad way to go. Some guys are going to use futures. No problem there. I mean, you can quantify your risk on futures by buying a call against it. And then you know exactly how much you can lose if the market does go up and you're still gaining at a cash market. It's a situation where if you're going to do options, you're probably going to do an option strategy where you're going to buy a put, maybe sell a put, and sell a call. Some guys will buy a put and sell two calls just to keep things wide open. Margin requirement is there for that, but it's turned out to be very, very worth it in the long run.
Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Jackie Vanks, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. When we come back in just a moment, we'll hear the interviews I did with Brian Grady and Chip Flory from the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour earlier in the day today. Time now to check in with the folks on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Brian Grady is the director there and joins us by phone. Where are you this morning, Brian?
We are heading north out of Bloomington.
And what is your route?
We're going through McLean and Woodford, and that's about all we've gotten so far. So we're through four stops here this morning, and making our way towards Iowa City tonight.
And so you do McLean, Woodford, and then where from there? Into Knox County or someplace else?
Yeah, we'll be heading up towards the Kewaunee area and then up around the Quad Cities and over.
Should be good corn country. What have you found so far?
We found some more really good fields. The first stop we had was over 200 on the yield count coming out of there, like a 239, I think it was. And then after that, we took two more. And they had some tip back on both those fields, and they came in the 180 area, upper 180s. But, like I said, it was tip back some. The plant population, deer populations remain very strong. Over 100 in those 30-foot a row is what we're getting, and really strong deer populations. But the grain length is what's determining the fields that are really big versus big.
And you'll have finalized numbers for Illinois and Iowa City tonight?
That is correct, yes. We will finish up our sampling today. Probably around the noontime, most of the crews will be crossing over into the Iowa border. And then we will, finish up sampling in eastern Iowa today and then into Iowa City, release the Illinois numbers at tonight's meeting.
From yesterday's early indications in Illinois, how good might the crop be, in your opinion?
Oh, I think we're going to see record yields. There's no doubt about that. It's a matter of how much we hold on to here at the end of the season and whether or not we actually can add some with some test weights. I think it's good, strong test weight here is probably what we got in store for us. And as a result, you'll see some really big yields. We had some groups yesterday that all their samples were above 200 bushels. I didn't happen to be on one of those particular routes. We had several that were above 200, but we had some that were a little bit below that too. So, this is probably the best Illinois corn crop I can remember. Just even the fields that we don't sample in that we're just driving by, you can tell the plant health is very strong and impressive. Those plant populations, the deer populations, like I said, are very strong. And as a result, it's it is just a tremendous crop right now.
And then to be clear, for the tour results, your Illinois numbers do not include all the counties or all the crop reporting districts in the state.
That is correct. We don't get into the far southern area of Illinois. We just don't have the time to get down there, to be honest with you. You know, we put in a lot of hours in the day, and we just don't have the time and resources to get down into those far southern areas. Doesn't mean that we don't take those into account. It just means that when we release tour data for Illinois, it doesn't include those. Now, Pro Farmer issues crop estimates at the end of the week on Friday at 1:30 Central Time. And when we take those, we take the tour data into account, and then we factor in other factors. And those other factors is what's the crop like outside of the areas that we sample. So that takes into account the southern Illinois areas.
And for those who are interested, at 2:36, you'll be live on our Commodity Week program on WILL AM 580. And by 4 o'clock, that'll be up on our website at willag.org. The only state that you do get information from all of the crop reporting districts is Iowa. But let's go back to the two states that were reported last night. And if you could recap the numbers from Indiana and Nebraska for me.
Sure. For Indiana, we came in at a tour average of 185.03, and that was up 10.6% from a year ago, what we found on tour. So it's a very strong Indiana crop there. And, you know, the plant health is good. The ear populations were very strong. We were up a little bit on grain length from Indiana from what we were last year on tour. And overall, just a really strong crop. It's just a matter of how well it finishes here now to determine how big that's going to be. You know, on the western side of the state, in Nebraska, they came in at 163.77. That was up 5.7% from what they found a year ago on tour.
Brian, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow morning, and then, of course, for Commodity Week.
All righty, sounds great.
That, of course, is Brian Grady. He is leading the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. On the western leg is Chip Flory. He now joins us. Good morning to you, Chip. Where are you calling in from?
Right now we are in West Central Iowa. That's Crop District 4 in Iowa. And we're seeing good corn over here. You know, I don't think that that's unexpected or anything. But the plant health is very, very good. The populations are really good. This corn crop over here, it went through a stretch of stress in July, but it came through it in really good condition and seems like we've got good yield potential. And maybe the best piece of information yet is that we're walking through some mud when we go out into the fields this morning. So it got a shot of rain that it needed to go ahead and finish off strong. So, boy, West Central Iowa is really looking good.
How good?
You know, I've only got a few samples, and I hate just making too many conclusions off of a few samples, but we're pushing pretty hard. Most of our samples are in the 190 range, and when you start talking about that in West Central Iowa, you're talking about a good corn crop.
And the beans so far this morning?
Beans so far this morning are looking really good. I think maybe that the most important piece, again, is the moisture. The second thing would be that we've got we've lost the weed problem for the most part that we saw in southeast Nebraska. Those guys over there have got a water hemp problem that they have got to get under control. We talked about that yesterday, but it's really evident. And it's not too bad over here in Iowa. There's some problems, but it's not near as bad as what we saw in Nebraska. So things are really looking good. The plant health is very good. There's a little bit of insect feeding out here in some of the areas, but we're on the edge of the field, I think, where probably it was a grasshopper situation. The bean crop looks really good. And Todd, when we've got mud on our boots, third week of August, checking beans, we're probably underestimating the yield potential on them because they've got some water now.
Where will you end up tonight? And I don't know, you won't have the Iowa numbers, so will you have a set of numbers for this evening to release?
You bet. What we're going to have is the results from the western leg, and that will be crop districts 7 down in the southwest part of the state, 4 in the west central part of the state, and 1 in the northwest crop district in Iowa. We will have the final results for those districts.
And where will you be?
will be in Spencer, Iowa. It's one of our biggest meetings that we do on tour. We're probably going to have somewhere in the range of 500 or 600 farmers from the area come in just to hear the observations from all the scouts and to get a good idea of what the yield potential really is out here. And right now, it looks really good.
Now, for those listeners who regularly hear us on WILL AM 580 and some other stations or online at willag.org, just as a reminder, Spencer, Iowa is up in the north central, just to the west central part of Iowa. And we talk every week on Friday afternoons to Ben Pruce from that area. So that's where Chip's going to end up tonight. Can you go back through the Nebraska numbers after you had your debriefing last night for corn in particular, and because this is the third largest producing state in the nation?
Right, absolutely. Number one, the yield estimate was 163.8. That was up 5.7% from the tour results last year. It was kind of a deceiving day to us, Todd, because we get into those irrigated fields, and when you get into the irrigated Nebraska fields, you've got lofty expectations when you walk in there. You're expecting to find 230 bushel corn, 240, and every now and then pop up over 250 bushel. We didn't see much of that. And I think the reason is because we're missing some ears in the irrigated corn. As you're walking down the rows, every now and then there'd be a missing plant. And then it, in 30 foot of row, it'd be 3, 4, sometimes 5 plants that we were missing out there. I think that goes back to the problems of this spring. They had that late spring frost. I think that nipped some of the population in those irrigated fields. While we were so focused on the skips in the irrigated fields, I think we kind of lost track of just how good that dry land crop was in southeast Nebraska. It went through a similar stretch of stress like we did in western Iowa, but we just didn't have those real low yield estimates on the dry land. We had a handful of estimates come in under 100 bushels per acre, but we typically have more than a handful on the dry land corn under 100 bushel in southeast Nebraska. This year, we just didn't have many. We had a lot of them pushing into that 145 up to 160 range. And when you get the dry land average yield kind of forcing up the state average, the irrigated corn is going to be fairly consistent. The variable is the dry land corn. And this year, the variable is adding to the yield potential in Nebraska.
Tomorrow, you'll be in Minnesota. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And we're expecting to see a very wide range of maturity on the crop in Minnesota. We're going to be in some areas where the yield potential is going is going to be outstanding. But you got to remember that all of southern Minnesota, over a four-day stretch in June, received a foot of rain. And when you get pounded like that in June with that much rain, there's going to be some problems out in those cornfields that are going to be starting to really show up at this time of the year. And the biggest problem, of course, is going to be a lack of nitrogen.
Chip, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow morning.
All right, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Chip Flory, of course, is the director of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour on the Western Leg. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with a look at today's ag weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Chocolate Pecan Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1619, about 20 Africans were brought to Jamestown on a Dutch ship and traded for supplies. Most historians believe that these may be the first Africans to arrive in Virginia and signaled the beginnings of slave trade. In 1741, Danish explorer Vitus Bering, while on a mission sponsored by Russia, discovered Alaska. In 1866, the newly organized National Labor Union called on Congress to mandate an 8-hour workday. A coalition of skilled and unskilled workers, farmers, and reformers, the National Labor Union was created to pressure Congress to enact labor reforms. Although the NLU failed to persuade Congress to shorten the workday, its efforts heightened public awareness of labor issues and increased public support for labor reform in the 1870s and 1880s. In 1913, stainless steel was cast for the first time in Sheffield, England. Harry Brearley discovered how to make the steel that doesn't rust by accident. And in 1986, the U.S. Census Bureau reported that the U.S. population stood at 240,468,000, and the median age reached an all-time high of 31 and a half years. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Can you discuss the series of rain events that have and will continue to maybe make their way across the United States and the Midwest in particular, please?
The storm systems that we've seen so far have been the beginning of a new wet weather pattern that will take us on through the weekend and into the early part of next week. But what's taking place at the same time that we've got this wet weather pattern is a ridge of high pressure is building up across the eastern half of the country. It's not going to be a strong ridge, but it is lifting the storm track to the north. And so we will likely see rain and thunderstorms occurring at higher latitudes as we go forward in this forecast period. There's also going to be a little bit of a stationary frontal boundary that will lie across the western Corn Belt that will keep most of the rain falling in a similar area for a number of days. This will likely be from Nebraska into parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin in particular. Those areas could see some heavy amounts of rainfall, maybe 1 to 3 local 4 and 5 inch amounts. This begins probably tomorrow or more likely on Friday and goes into the early part of next week. In the meantime, areas to the south and east of that will likely stay relatively dry, which includes central and southern Illinois, the southern part of Iowa, most of Missouri, eastern Kansas, down into the northern Delta. And then there'll be somewhat of a warm front that will lie somewhat stationary also across parts of northeastern Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio, where there'll be some other shower and thunderstorms occurring with a little less intensity. So a lot of areas in the Midwest will see rain, but the central and southwestern parts of the Corn Belt will probably stay relatively dry and see a warmer bias as well.
So does this alleviate some of the problems that we have had with some dryness developing in parts of the northwestern Corn Belt?
Absolutely. We're already seeing some erosion to that dry bias. Portions of Minnesota and Wisconsin have already seen some significant rainfall in this past week, and portions of Iowa have as well, though we still have dryness in east central and northeastern Iowa that still needs to be dealt with. I think over this next 5 to 7 days, we will manage to get more rain in there, but out of all the areas that are dry, probably the east central and northeast parts of Iowa and a few counties in northwestern Illinois will probably be a little more stubborn about breaking away from the drier bias, but they will get some rain, and we will see some improvement there as well.
Thanks so much, Drew. We do appreciate you doing the job today. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated, and that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.